let women do what they want.
Aging is this like god awful thing.
Buy this to fix it. Like, that's disgusting.
When I take the makeup off at night, I'm not dreading it as much.
It's just as bad.
With a filter on.
It's time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. Hey guys, welcome back. A new episode today. We actually have a guest episode today, and we are going to be talking all about the beauty industry, how a lot of products and brands profit off of your insecurities, debunking a lot of the marketing schemes that are used to really get you to think, you know, I need this product to solve XYZ insecurity of mine, and talking about how to take a more, you know, positive, smarter consumer approach to buying beauty products and using beauty products that make you feel confident instead of make you feel insecure or less of in your skin. I have a really amazing creator on today. You might know her, Hydration CEO Rachel. She is really transparent online, debunks different beauty hacks she sees, talks a lot about amazing drugstore recommendations all around. She's a real one, and I'm so happy to have her on the podcast today. If you're listening to this episode on Spotify, Apple, or any streaming platform, also go check out the video version. We do post the video on the Loud Talk with Lavi YouTube channel. But without further ado, let's get right on into this episode and let's get loud.
It's time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. And today I am joined by the Hydration CEO. Rachel, thank you so much for joining me today on Loud Talk.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on. You are like the queen of all things beauty, really, but I feel like you're so real on social media. You keep it real with your audience, as it should be, you know, with what products you recommend and just like debunking some things you see online, especially in the beauty world, because I feel like all the time products and methods are pushed on us like, you need this to achieve this, you need this to achieve that. So I love the way you approach social media, and especially with how, you know, you recommend so many affordable products too. I think that is so refreshing to see online. So first off, I want to know a little more about you and how you actually got into the social media world.
Yeah. So some people know this, most people don't. I actually used to work in influencer marketing.
Okay.
So I was on the other side of things for many years before I ever started making content online. Yeah. So I started this page, Hydration CEO, about 4 years ago in the pandemic. I feel like a lot of creators have a similar story where it's just like, you're looking for a connection. I've always loved skincare. I've always struggled with my skin personally. And so that's kind of what I decided that I wanted to talk about. And it's kind of snowballed from there into my full-time job, which is kind of crazy.
We love that. That's so cool. Especially since you were like on the other side of things, do you think that from the get-go that gave you kind of a different perspective, like with making content?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So my formal training, like my school training, is in video editing.
Okay.
So I felt like I already had a little bit of like a leg up, and I've always loved like video content creation. I was making YouTube videos when I was a kid. But yeah, definitely working on the other side of things, you learn so much about content creation. You learn so much about what brands in particular are looking for when working with creators. So that really helped me kind of get in with brands early on, I feel like, and like form those relationships. And yeah, I'm having a great time.
And what kind of, because I feel like a lot of people even ask me like, what made you, you know, post real skin online or post like, you know, more real authentic things? Was that something that you kind of went in from the get-go? Was like fear of judgment ever like in the play for you? Or did you just kind of post and not care?
Oh, I wish. That would be amazing. I definitely do feel like I have a really good relationship with my body and my skin. It was not always that way. Definitely when I was younger, I struggled a lot with like kind of my online image. And like, I was that girl who was, even before we had like the sophisticated filters that we have now, I was in Photoshop, like photoshopping my face, my body, my skin for like Facebook photos that like my relatives and like four friends would see. But I was so concerned about my image online, even back then in like high school, that those are the lengths that I would go to. So yeah, I feel like, I don't know, there wasn't like a particular moment that like clicked for me when it comes to like, there wasn't like a particular moment I feel like where I decided not to use filters, but I guess I kind of realized that if I was feeling insecure about myself because of what I was seeing like online and in magazines, then I personally would not want to contribute to that. So when I started the Hydration CEO page, I decided straight off the bat, no filters, real skin. People are going to look and see exactly where my skin is out at like any given moment. And that's okay because I feel like there wasn't a ton of that, at least like back when I was a kid. And maybe if I had had more creators who were posting their unfiltered skin, I would have felt a little bit better about myself. Maybe if I had more creators like you, girl,
Yeah, no,
I would feel better about my skin.
I fully agree with that, because I think sometimes, like, I remember too, I was like 14, like face tuning my photos to the max for like 100 followers when I'd post like a makeup video. So like it's but because I started on YouTube, there was no like, I didn't know how to like edit my YouTube videos to like add a filter or anything on my face. So that was always real. So I felt like, okay, well, people can see my real skin in the YouTube video. And then suddenly I'm showing up on Instagram posting this like super filtered, like flawless makeup look, because that's all I saw online. So I think for so many of the creators I talk to, it's kind of that same story of like, you kind of have to be the change you want to see in the industry yourself, in a way. Out of pure curiosity, what made you think of like the username Hydration CEO?
It's not a very good story. This was like the era where people were being like, I'm like the CEO of anxiety, or like I'm the CEO of not cleaning up my bedroom. And so I was like, it's funny if I was like the CEO of hydration, which was double funny because in 2020 I was going through like my second tretinoin purge, and I was having like the driest, flakiest, crispiest skin you could possibly like imagine. So I was very much like a hydration D or I was very much CEO of dehydration. And it's also funny because I'm bad at drinking water, but that's really it.
You were manifesting what you needed is the
Yes.
hydration. I love that. I feel like now I'm on a Razzle right now, and the dryness, especially because where I live too, it's like dry as hell. And because I was living abroad and it was so much more humid, literally 2 days after I came back to Calgary, my skin, like, I was like, am I a reptile? What the hell is going on? Oh, it was awful. And I feel like so many times with acne prone skin, people associate like, you need to dry out your skin or blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I need all the hydration in the world. Thank you very much.
No, absolutely.
Okay, next question I have for you. So, especially because you were working like on the, other side of like influencer marketing, when you were in that job, did you kind of have like this like aha moment with kind of the industry and how things are marketed online?
Oh my God. I had a horrible, like horrible agency job, like straight out of school. And agencies, for those who don't know, if you're working in a marketing agency, it basically means that you are like working for 10, 15, 20 clients at a time. So it's great because you get to learn a lot of things about a lot of different industries. But you're basically like super beholden to these companies, like answering Slacks at like 4 a.m. I mean, I definitely feel like I had always known in the back of my mind that like a lot of my insecurities about my skin in particular were coming from the media. The media. But yeah, hearing it directly from clients, there was like a visceral reaction there. Like I had a client who was very focused in on the before and after shot, and they really wanted everyone who was like filming this content to like make a like grossed out face. I don't remember what the product was for, but I remember they really wanted all the before imagery for people to be like disgusted with themselves. And I was like, this is so nasty. And to be like on a client call, like 22, like listening to these huge brands, like talk about making people feel bad about themselves for profit. I was like, oh. But luckily, I did not work there very long.
That's so interesting. I feel like as a creator, like, I know in the back of my head, like, that's it's kind of creating that reaction people to want to sought out a product for a certain result. But I feel like for the daily consumer, they don't necessarily think of ads or marketing in that way. They just see like that end product and the image the brand is trying to put out. You mentioned before and afters, and it just made me think. I remember I was working with this brand once, and I sent in the content, and they were like, could we switch around the before and afters? And I was like, No.
Oh.
I like, what do you mean switch them around? Because I think I was like in final season or something then. So like my stress was to a max and my acne is always stress related. But I was like, no, we can like prolong the testing period and, but I'm
Yeah.
not switching them around. That kind of defeats the whole point of the video. But, sometimes like at the end of the day, not all brands, obviously, but some brands like they do just care about like that final image of the product and how it's like portrayed. But, I think pretty early on, I'm curious your opinion on this. Like, I do think in a lot of ways the beauty industry does kind of thrive off of insecurities, whether it is skincare or makeup, because sometimes it's pushed on us like, okay, you need this product to fix XYZ or enhance XYZ. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh yeah, totally. I think brands have gotten a lot smarter about the way that they are marketing things, but I still think a lot of the industry, the core product is making you feel bad about yourself, which is gross. I mean, you
And
see
you're
it. Oh
sorry, I was
yeah,
just gonna
no.
say that you're so right, and like it has kind of changed because I think back to like the ads I even saw when I was like a teenager, like the what's that three-step system called for
Proactive.
acne? Proactive, thank you. I remember always seeing the TV ads, and it would be like, maybe this is how I just envisioned in my head, but it would almost be like, this person was like miserable and, like hiding themselves, not going to school, like not like, making friends or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, boom, their life changed. They're like a pop star because they went on Proactive, that type of narrative, or just like, I referenced this before on the podcast, but I remember I was sick like last year and I was just like watching old Hannah Montana episodes because, like, what else was I supposed to do? And there was this episode where she got like this pimple and like, the whole episode was around like how, and imagine this is like a kids show, right? Like she couldn't her show, she had to like try every trick in the book to get rid of this pimple or else like God forbid she was seen in public with this pimple, So I think that narrative has definitely shifted. Brands are more hopping on like now that more skin positivity movement, but I still think a lot of that exists and in a lot of the marketing we see today.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's yeah. I think we have like brands that have gotten smarter, obviously, about what they're putting out on their pages, but they're still utilizing creators who are talking down about themselves, who are using these like visceral or just not true before and afters. Like the brand that pops up into my head is, have you seen those Il Makiage ads?
Yes.
I'm calling them out. I'm calling you out. Oh my gosh. They're so crazy. The before and afters are always like no makeup, full beat. The eye cream one, I had a follower send to me, which I did buy that eye cream. I will be doing a video about
From
it
Il
because
Makiage? I didn't even know they
it
had eye cream. Okay.
was. Oh my God. It's like a $60 eye cream. The before and afters are crazy. It's supposed to be like instant brightening. And I mean,
Right.
if you know anything about dark circles, you know they take months and months and months of trying, and even then, probably it's not going to make like a huge difference. Like it's so based on your anatomy and genetics and sleep hygiene and all that stuff. But anyway, it's just like it's like visceral, the difference between like the unfiltered, no makeup woman looking like downtrodden, and then the after where they're like clearly smiling, they have this like brightener on underneath their eyes, like full beat, and then they're also talking to the camera about it's changed their life. So I think if a brand is letting their influencers speak for them in that way, like it's just as bad because they're approving that content and they're going, oh, yep, that's good.
Yeah, I remember trying their foundation. Oh, I must have been like 15 or something. And I did like a YouTube video on it. I just remember it oxidized like crazy because like it was supposed to be like my perfect
Right.
match because that's like their whole thing. And then they said, I think they ended up sending me like a different shade to try and whatever. Like, yeah, I don't even remember how the foundation wore, but I have seen like some of their ads. I didn't even know they do skincare. That's so interesting.
Me either. I don't get their content. I've never tried any of their products before, but I did buy this eye cream, and if it doesn't make my under eyes look like I have concealer and a filter on, then I'm
Then
coming
that's
for
it.
you.
I find too, like, I remember once I started showing like different lighting on social media, people were like blown away. And for the longest time, like they wouldn't believe me. They're like, well, you just removed a filter. Like, but I'm like, no, guys, I just turned my head. And I think so many times we see these before and afters, they are in like different lighting. Or like as you mentioned, the aura of the person, if they're like looking all sad and like disappointed and then all of a sudden happy, like it could be the same skin, the same whatever, but you're instantly going to compare those two people in the before and afters and think, oh my gosh, this person's life has changed. We see it all the time too, like in any like body before and afters with like posture.
Oh,
that is like the biggest thing. I remember all the TV ads for that too. And then, you know, like at the end of the day, like you see this person, like they just like straightened out and like sucked in a little bit. And it's like, was it a before and after, or was it like taken within the same 5 minutes, the same
Oh
shot?
yeah. Saggy Sarah is like one of my favorite content creators. Do you follow her? She's the
No, I don't think
best
so.
for body before and afters. She's like, she's the queen of showing exactly how far you can push it with like video filters, with posture, with lighting. Yeah, I mean, it makes a huge difference. And now even you can't even trust YouTube anymore. I know you were saying you couldn't put a filter on your YouTube before. Now you can filter a YouTube video quite easily, and a lot of people do, which is crazy when you're reviewing makeup or skincare products. I'm always blown away by
Oh,
how
don't
many
even get
creators
started.
use the beauty filter.
Don't even get me started. It's even like, I remember when I first bought like my new camera, and then automatically when I turned it on, it had like the beauty mode right on the camera. And I feel like so many people wouldn't know that that's even a thing, like, because they're like, oh, well, if it doesn't show a filter right on the video, they're not using a filter. I'm like, their camera
Oh
can have an
yeah.
automatic skin blurring on it. And you should see how good my skin looks if I were to turn on this filter mode on my camera. But obviously I turn it off because like I don't get the whole concept of like reviewing makeup with a filter on. I've never gotten that concept when people are like, oh, this is what it looks like without the filter, but you know, like if it's there for
Let me see
education
the makeup.
purposes, yeah, I want
Let
to
me
see
see
it.
it.
But I think it's created such a like a narrative now, because people will always comment on my videos being like, oh, your makeup just looks like bad or cakey. And I'm like, well, is it because my makeup looks bad, or is it because you're not used to, like, our eyes are not used to seeing unfiltered skin with makeup? Like when we think of someone wearing makeup, we think it must look like flawless and creaseless. And you know, I've seen girls even post videos online like, makeup girlies, help me out. This is what my makeup looks like once I put powder on. How do I fix it? I'm like, that looks great. Like, that
That's just
literally
what
looks
powder looks
great.
like,
Yeah.
girl.
Yeah. That's what it'll look like zoomed in on the skin, especially like back camera versus front camera and lighting and all of that. But I think I always spot a filter right away. I can like always spot it out. But
For
like I
me, it's
said,
the marionettes. The TikTok in particular, their beauty filter is horrible with the marionettes. So you'll see them flash in and out.
yes, I always see it, and I know. And even if they're standing afar, I'm like, they're wearing a filter. But I feel like for the
Always.
average viewer, like they're probably not catching that at all.
No, of course not. Yeah, that the media literacy, we're just not trained to spot stuff like this unless you're, I mean, I feel like you get a leg up making content because you're like, wait, mine doesn't look like that. Why does theirs look like
No,
that? And
yeah,
then
like
you
I
start to
spot it.
notice.
But yeah, for the average, like I always see people comment on, and I'll see like someone wearing a filter, and then the comments are like, oh my gosh, girl, what foundation are you wearing? Or like, what's your skincare routine? Blah, blah, blah. And I feel the urge to like reply back to all those comments being like, they're wearing a filter, please. It's crazy.
The skincare routine is Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. It is beauty mode 100%. But with that being said, you know, obviously, like we're both beauty creators and we use beauty products. And obviously, like you use beauty products to achieve like a certain result. Like, for example, a moisturizer, like for hydrated skin, or we use like a dark spot serum or whatever it is, or makeup to achieve a certain look. Do you find like there is like a fine line to navigate between like finding products to improve certain skin concerns or like achieve a certain look without diving too far into like buying things to, how should I phrase this? Like feed into like fixing all those insecurities?
Oh yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it is my job to review products on social media, and with that, there is a certain amount of power and responsibility that you have as a creator, in terms of what content you're putting out. Like that's why it's so crazy to see, like, again, other creators like using filters or pushing out like a review for a product that's only been around for like a couple days. Anyway, I digress. I feel like for me, the rule of thumb is it has to make me feel good. No matter what it is, makeup, skincare, it's got to make me feel good. If it makes me feel worse about myself, or if the piece of content that I am like watching makes me feel worse about myself, it's a no-go for me. So I feel like we've moved away from skincare being something that was used as self-care. I mean, particularly the skincare boom of the like pandemic 2020, I feel like everyone was like, okay, this is my self-care practice. This is what I'm doing at night to like wind down, to take care of myself, because there's not a lot of things that I can do to take care of myself in my house. And then we've kind of taken that, and it's become a much a much bigger question of, yeah, are we doing this because it makes us feel good, or are we doing this because we hate parts of ourselves?
Yeah,
I'm sure you get the same comments that I do of people being like, I hate this, I hate that, what can I do? And I'm like, therapy.
Yeah, it is a fine line, I think, because at the end of the day, like, I, for me, for example, like, I have come so far in my skin journey and, like, learning to love my skin regardless of, like, the imperfections. But at the end of the day, like, because people will sometimes be like, okay, well, if you're so skin positive, like, why are you still trying to, like, heal your acne, or why are you on, like, acne? So it's like, I think you can do both at once. But it is a fine line to teeter, you know, because it's working, as you said, like therapy. For me, it was working more on the mental of, like, if my skin breaks out, I'm not going to let that ruin my day as much. But I'm still going to, like, try a skincare product that will heal the breakout. Like, you know, it is like that teeter, but I think you can still approach beauty in a way where you still love yourself, like, regardless of the makeup or skincare that you use,
yeah.
But you can also have fun with it. I always get comments being like, well, if you love your skin so much, why do you, like, apply so much makeup? And I'm like, I just love doing my makeup. You know, like, that's literally what it comes down to. And there are some days where I love a full coverage foundation that, like, covers up every spot I could have on my face. But it's that relationship with, like, when I take the makeup off at night, I'm not dreading it as much, or I'm not, like, looking in the mirror bashing what I see, you know, back in the reflection.
Yeah.
But I was just gonna say, like, obviously it is a hard line, because, you know, people always ask me, like, what foundation do you recommend for, like, best acne coverage? And I have products that I use, but, you know, it's like, how do I tread that line of, like, recommending products that people can use to cover up their skin, but also pushing the narrative that you don't necessarily need it all the time, don't need to rely on it. So what are your thoughts?
I think
there?
Language is so important. The way that we talk about ourselves online, I think, is so important. Obviously, even though online it may seem like I'm 100% confident, healed, I have no issues with myself or my body, that just is not true. But I don't take my shit and put it onto other people. So I'm not going to take the way that I feel about a certain body part or a way that I look in certain lighting or whatever and talk about that online and put myself down online, because that is going to make other people feel bad. And I mean, there's choice feminism, blah, 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 all this stuff where people are like, you know, let women talk about whatever they want to talk about online. But I really think it's our responsibility as creators and people with platforms to be careful about how we speak about ourselves, our skin, our body. So we're not saying, ew, I hate this, buy this to fix it. Like, that's disgusting. But if you talk about something that you really love and has made you feel more confident in your skin, and someone can take that and feel more confident in their skin, like, that's amazing. That's incredible. That's what you want. But yeah, if you have to, like, if there has to be some gimmick, or if you have to put yourself down to sell a product, like, clearly the product is not good enough on its own.
So
of course it's a fine line. Absolutely. It's a fine line. And it's one you kind of have to make choices about, like, every single time that I, like, pick up the camera to record. But I think it's important that there are creators out here who are thinking about how they present themselves and how they present their skin. I don't know. I'm getting too big picture of here. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, no, totally. I think, like, you know, we kind of touched on it with makeup, but I think the same thing goes with skincare. Like, for example, you can promote a product and before and after, like, wow, look, this really helped with my dark spots or my acne or whatever. But again, it's like, yeah, I think it comes down to how it's presented, because, you know, a creator could be like, this product healed my acne, now I'm beautiful, now I'm, like, feel confident, you know, like, so that would maybe imply that, yeah, like, that more toxic image where you need this product to feel that rather than focusing on, like, just the result in itself. And I think, I mean, going back to the initial question of the beauty industry kind of thriving on our insecurities, I mean, a lot of it, like, look at just all these, like, anti-aging products, which nothing in my opinion, nothing, like, really is anti-aging, because we can't always, like, reverse, you know, and no matter the, like, the most expensive treatments and stuff, nothing in, like, at its core is anti-aging. There are things that can reduce the look of aging, you know, or prevent aging in a way, but at the end of the day, we're all going to age. And I think that in itself is such a, like, toxic narrative online, that aging is this, like, god-awful thing, whereas in the end, it's inevitable for literally all of us. And we see it so much, like, women versus men, you know, like, with women, it's like, God forbid we age and look a day over 25 or whatever it is, but then with men it's kind of like that aging is glorified more. So I think there's different, like, obviously there's different beauty standards between, but I think so much of it with skincare, that's really what's pushed, of like, we see these TV ads where it's like, buy this moisturizer, buy this, and 90% of women saw like wrinkle reduction of blah 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 and like looked 10 years younger and whatever. And I think these words are thrown out there to make you feel like you need this to fit in with that beauty standard.
Yeah, I mean, people think that the highest compliment to like someone who likes skincare is that you look so young.
Yeah.
My highest compliment is like, you're glowing. Like, that's what I want. Uh-huh. Like, the goal is not perfection. It's not to look 10 years younger. The goal is to have healthy skin for as long as I possibly can. That's why sunscreen comes first, obviously. Mm-hmm. And yeah, on the acne piece, I think it's extra crazy because, I mean, acne is a medical condition and it's fucking painful. Like, anyone who's ever had a chin cyst knows how painful that is. And that doesn't mean that I hate myself or I hate my skin. It just means I have a cyst on my chin and I don't want it there anymore.
Totally. And honestly, I always say this because I have like, I scar really easily. Therefore, I have a lot of scarring left from a bunch of cystic acne. I honestly have gotten to the point where I don't really care too much about the scars. Like, yes, I'm, you know, doing skincare to like reduce the dark spots and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, the scars don't hurt. And that's like my biggest thing. Cause like, yeah, acne is so painful. And I think people like forget that. Like, yes, I talk about skin positivity and everything, but that doesn't mean like I'm not trying to achieve like a certain goal with my skin. It's just like you said, it's not gonna ruin, you know, it might ruin a bit of my day of like, oh, this thing really hurts, but I don't have to like bash myself in the mirror over it. That's like kind of that fine line we were talking about. And same with like anti-aging products, you know, you could want a product that makes the skin look more plump and hydrated and like has that glow, but still like recognize the beauty in like fine lines and, you know, smile lines and whatever it is, because it is like, that's so normal. I just think like our eyes are so trained to seeing beauty in a certain way on media that sometimes I even say like, look up from your phone, look at the people around you, look at how their skin looks in real life. But we're so focused on how we see it perceived online that's when we compare ourselves most to that idolized perfection. Because like, if you were to look up and look at real people in real life, you would see more of those imperfections, but we're so like narrowed in on this one image that we see. And I mean, like ads with celebrities and stuff, and then you see like their photos, like the raw photo or whatever from like the red carpet, and then people are like, oh my gosh, she's aged 10 years. I'm like, no, she just like, that's just how she looks, you know?
Yes. People hyper-focusing in on one edited image. Oh my God. I think it's so funny. So no matter like what stage your skin is at, I feel like as creators, you kind of get it on both sides. So it's like, when I first started posting, I had a lot more like visible acne than I do now. And I had people back then who were like, you shouldn't be talking about skincare because you have acne. Right. And now I have people being like, you shouldn't talk about skincare because you don't have acne.
Of course. And I that is the, like, because again, they're seeing a snapshot of like, you know, this one video you're posting in the present rather than all of it as a whole, or like your whole act. Like, if they were to go back and see like how much your skin has improved or whatever, then they'd have that perspective. I think my favorite one that I get is people are always like, just go on Accutane. Why am I taking Accutane? And I'm like, I always feel the urge to respond to say like, oh, I'm actually on it right now, even though I'm not. But then it's like, even if I was on it, it doesn't work overnight. Like, I could be on it and it could be work. You know what I mean? Like, I find that so hilarious. But yeah, I've gotten those comments too. Like, sometimes my skin is looking like super clear and people are like, what do you know about acne? I'm like, let me tell you. But yeah, totally. And I think that's the thing. Like, I use products to achieve a certain look, and I think that's the thing. Like, people always ask me, what do you recommend for dark spots, for acne, for this? And you know, I have my favorite products that I love, but at the end of the day too, yes, I use certain products for the results, but it's also like the feel and how those products make me feel, if I like applying them. Like, it's more of the whole experience and plus X results. But I think we're also live in a world where people also expect results right away, kind of like you mentioned with that under eye cream of like instant, you know, like that people want that instant result. And I'm sure maybe you've gotten this too, but I'll use a product and show that I love it, and people are like, it doesn't really seem like it did that much, you know? Or I'll say like, it's helped with my acne, and they're like, but you your skin isn't perfectly clear. And I'm like, well, even if a pimple goes down, inflammation, like I will have a spot like left over, like the pigmentation will be there for a long time. Therefore, it may look like I still have acne. And I think we live in a world where people expect those instant results. And therefore, if a product doesn't work instantly, it's a bad product.
Yeah, and they expect those results because of social media saying, I got rid of XYZ thing in 3 days, which is crazy.
I know I've even like so many brands have used like my photos without my permission and like filtered my face to show before and afters. And I'm like,
That's the
I
worst.
really hope no one's believing this because of how like edited it looks, but I just know some people will be totally believing it and think that, you know, because for me, I always look at like, especially when it comes to like skincare ads for those before and afters, like you have to look at it with a realistic eye. You know, like if it is a product that targets acne, is there like a scar left over or some pigmentation left over? Can you see like, then I will believe that before and after because that's like a realistic result. But when it's like from, especially when it goes from like cystic acne to perfectly clear skin with
I wish.
no sign of scarring or indentation or anything, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way because like scars are so hard to treat, especially from cystic acne. Like a little serum is not going to be doing that, all that to the skin. But people believe it. And I feel like I mean, I was once 15 buying every product I could possibly buy to try and heal my acne, you know, overnight or whatever
Oh,
it
yeah.
was. So I get it. And especially again, when it's an insecurity, the beauty industry knows this, that people are desperate to fix that insecurity. And if they're offering them that product that can instantly change it, they're gonna go after it. Whether it's like a makeup skincare product or, oh my gosh, like all those things in the fitness world too, like the teas and stuff, like instantly lose whatever amount of pounds
Oh
and
my God.
blow.
My inbox is like constantly full.
Of like offers or like what?
Oh yeah, I get probably 3 a day from skinny tea, Ozempic, fitness trainers, personal trainers in my DMs constantly asking if I'll do before and after content with them, if I'll accept payment to show before and afters of my body. Never once have I expressed displeasure or that I wanted to change my body in any way. But they just look at someone and they're like, you know what you need? Ozempic.
Do you ever
It's
respond
crazy.
or do you just leave it?
No. Oh my God. Sometimes I'll screenshot them and I'll put them on my stories,
Okay.
but oh
No, I
my
was
God,
just
it's
wondering if you
so
respond like out of
embarrassing.
like to just be like, did I ask? Because I've gotten ads or like offers for paid partnerships with like Facetune equivalents, basically. And I'm like, have you? I respond.
Bro.
And I'll just be like, have you watched one piece of my content? How did you find my email address to like even send me this, you know? Because I don't get it. I'm like, this goes completely against what I promote, you know? Like I find that that's so funny. But yeah, the offers will be there. Or yeah, I'll get some like offer. It'll be like 100% natural skincare will heal your acne, guaranteed an X amount. I'm like, girl,
Sure.
please, please with the natural skincare.
Undiscovered plant in thousands of years of existence. Undiscovered. Well, you know, thousands of years for millions of years. I don't know how long humans have been here. Fuck, don't put that in there.
Thousand, probably.
I've been out of school for a long time.
It's okay. We're creators. I'm just kidding.
We don't need to know things about biology.
Okay. I want to get a little bit into your debunking videos because I feel like they're so iconic and really, really important. Like examples like you show before and after, like of misleading like beauty transformations. Were you ever scared of kind of maybe calling out or stitching these videos to
Oh my
show
God,
that?
yes. God. This is not something I have been doing for a long time. I started posting these videos last summer and oh my God, it's because I spend so much of my life complaining about these videos to like my friends and my family and my partner that I was like, okay, I can't just keep like keeping this to myself and like bothering my friends with this. Like, this is obviously something that needs to be talked about because I feel this way and I'm sure other people feel this way too. So yeah, it basically started with me just complaining to my friends. And then I was like, ugh, I really should be complaining online about this because it's so irritating. It's so crazy. It's crazy how many comments you'll see under these like ridiculous videos that people like believe this. And I'm like, okay, clearly there is a gap here where people need to know that this stuff is not, this is not real.
Totally.
And yeah, so people will watch one video and they'll just believe whatever that video is. And a lot of the like debunking stuff, I've had to like do deep dives and like figure out kind of what else is at play in these videos. But yeah, no, it does spook me every single time I have to post one. I'll like hold it in my drafts for like a week and I'm like, and then when I post it, like it's almost always met with like warm reception. Like people really do appreciate this kind of content and these videos. They usually do pretty well performance wise on my page too, which is great. Mm-hmm. More people are seeing it, but it, yeah, it does give me anxiety for sure. Yeah. And I have of course had creators respond to videos that I've stitched of theirs, and that's always nerve-wracking too, but you know, it is what it is.
Do you remember the first one you did, because you said you like started doing this last summer?
The first like one that like really popped off was the face shaving video. I don't know if you remember that one,
with
but
the hair identifier.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know if I saw your stitch of it, but I know when like everyone was doing the hair identifier.
Oh my god. And it was just like, it was so upsetting. And the video in particular, I think the woman was talking about how she was like the bearded lady for having peach fuzz, and it just killed me. Like, because it's one or two things, right? It's either they're like so indoctrinated by this like beauty standard bullshit that they truly believe that about themselves and they don't realize that what they're posting is
right,
problematic and contributing to the beauty standard that made her feel like she was a bearded lady to begin with, or they're doing it to sell things, which is just, you know, unethical.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like the first one.
That's, yeah. I didn't even know like that. I thought people were just using it to like get rid of peach fuzz, and like I've like dermaplaned like that before, mostly because like for makeup purposes, and like that just applies better. But
no
sometimes,
issues with dermaplaning, but
yeah, again, it's the presentation, how it's brought on,
and just shaming other women for having facial hair, which everyone has.
Right. That, yeah, that's the thing. Wow, I didn't know that was the first one. Have you ever gotten people that don't believe you? Like, I guess like when you call something out, I'm sure you have, but do you think, I feel like in those situations, it's like, no matter how much you would prove to someone, you know, this kind of happened to me when I would show like my lighting comparisons of makeup, people like, you're just removing and adding a filter. I'm like, no, look, like I'm showing you. But I think people are either so quick to believe something on social media or refuse to believe, you know, it's like one or the other. So do you ever have to like make follow-up videos to like, or do you kind of just leave it?
Not usually. I mean, I haven't made like a follow-up video. It's actually, I don't necessarily get a lot of pushback in terms of people like not believing me in that way. It's more like people thinking that I'm being a bully for calling out this kind of behavior amongst like my peers. So I'll more have people say, you know, let women do what they want. Let women do what they want. Let women, you know, make fun of their bodies however they want. Let them do what they want. And that's the choice feminism of it all. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, that's, women can do no wrong. And I mean, women can't do wrong, but you know what I mean? If a woman is using her platform to tear down other women, whether that is indirectly, aka I feel bad about my body because of this, or directly, which is, I think it's gross that people have this, and then they're using that to sell something. Like, I do think that people should be held responsible online for that kind of behavior. And, you know, again, maybe it's option A and it's indirectly and she's just not thinking about it, or he's just not thinking about it. The person making the video is just not thinking about the repercussions of the video that they're creating, in which case they could probably benefit from someone saying, hey, this is contributing to this horrible, awful thing that's making people feel bad about themselves.
Right.
Or B, maybe they won't feel so emboldened to post this kind of content again, which would be great because we could use less of it.
Totally. Okay, so I asked you about like the first thing, once you mentioned the hair identifier, like shaving the peach fuzz. What has been one of your favorite maybe things that you, I don't want to say call out, because at the end of the day, like you're just, you know, providing that like other perspective that maybe your average viewer is like taking blindly.
I don't know. It doesn't feel good necessarily. And
Yeah.
I think that's like where the anxiety comes from. Like it
Right.
doesn't feel great. I'm not like, ooh, got him.
Yeah. No, I totally know what you mean. 'Cause like, yeah, I could imagine like, I mean, anytime, you know, we're stating an opinion that maybe goes against, yeah, like it caused that anxiety. And I think, I don't think in any way you're doing it for that like malicious intent. At the end of the day, you're doing it to hope to stop like other people from feeling bad about themselves after seeing a piece of content.
Yeah, it's really about media literacy. And there's a reason why I don't tag any of the people that I'm
Yeah.
stitching in the
Yeah.
videos, because the intention is never for people to go to their page and to bully them,
Totally.
or to cause harm upon them. It's just to inform people that this is a marketing tactic and to look out for it. So maybe the next piece of content that comes around, if they hear someone talking badly about themselves to sell something, they can take a step back and
Yep.
think, oh, hey, I'm being sold something. This person is shaming themselves to pressure me into purchasing something, and maybe I don't need that thing.
Yeah, it's just building that like smarter consumerism. That's how
Totally.
I view it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. And it's, yeah, I mean, critical thinking when it comes to purchasing things online. I mean, same. We've all been victimized
Oh.
by the TikTok shop.
See, that's the thing. In Canada, we don't have TikTok shop. I feel like that,
Oh,
yeah, we don't have it.
it is brutal sometimes. Yeah, you'll just get sold something over and over and over and over again, and it's really hard just to take a step back and think, do I need this? Or I guess, is this being marketed to me in a way that I think is ethical?
Yeah.
Is this something that I currently need? And is this the best version of the thing that I need? Because yeah, I could sell $100 vitamin C is not a great never mind. I could sell like $100 retinol serum. But you are probably gonna get the same results from my favorite one, which is like $20, which is the CeraVe resurfacing retinol. That's my favorite beginner retinol. So taking the time to think critically about what you're purchasing, I think is really important, especially these days when, the wallet is looking a little sad and
Yep.
small, these days. So yeah, I mean, we have to be smart consumers about who we're supporting, obviously, with our dollars especially, but also like with our likes and views. So yeah, so if I see some bullshit online,
News could be
hopefully, I
real.
don't know. Yeah.
You kind of mentioned the CeraVe retinol, which kind of segues into my last question. So you said that you talk so much about drugstore makeup, which I, and drugstore skincare, all drugstore beauty, which I love because I started content creating so young. So like I only had the funds from like birthday money to go buy drugstore products and finding like the best of the best at the drugstore. And you've talked about the fact that you kind of had that too, where at the start you really got into beauty by exploring those affordable options. Do you find because of that, maybe having that restriction on how much you could spend on beauty, like actually made you dive into finding the best of the best at those minimal prices?
Oh yeah, I mean, I was the queen of Rite Aid in high school. I would save all of my money and I would spend it on Rite Aid products. And I felt like, at least for makeup, because that's what I was really into in high
Yeah.
school, it was all about how many ways can I use a certain product. So can I use this one, lip liner as eyeliner? Can I use this lipstick as eyeshadow, as blush, and like really stretching things far? Now that like this is my job and I'm able to like really do head-to-head tests with affordable options versus higher end options, it's fun to be able to give people, that the truth, which is that most drugstore skincare and makeup outperforms high-end, at least in my opinion. Yes, there are a couple of those like higher end options that I do think are worth your money, but there is so much out there at the drugstore for girlies on a budget or girlies who just don't want to waste their money
Yeah.
on really expensive items at Sephora. Like, and they're so much better than what we had access to, like at least when I was in high school, which was
Not that
long
much.
time ago.
Yeah. I find it so funny too because I literally was at the drugstore the other day and I bought like a few items and I was like, why was this so expensive? So I remember doing like the $20 makeup challenge on YouTube and I ha could do a full face for $20 and now I what was it that I bought? I think it was the new NYX, like the lip gloss stains they just released with the blue
They're
cap.
so good. The vinyl, or not the vinyl.
IV something, right?
IV, yes, lip
Yes.
IV.
I just bought one because like I was seeing everyone try it. I'm like, that looks amazing. I need to try it. But I spent like $17 on it, Canadian dollars, but still I was like, what? So like I feel like a lot of the prices now, like, you know, obviously there are some brands at Sephora that obviously you'd spend more than that on, but even with the drugstore, we have to find like the best options even within the drugstore because those prices are going up and up and up.
No, absolutely. I do think that a lot of it is like formula innovation and like
Yeah,
cost of things. Like
totally.
the Lip IV is like a really innovative formula. But yes. I feel like more and more I'm looking to like the Elves, the Rimmel Londons. I'm looking to the LA Girl. Like there are so
They
many
got rid
even
of LA
more
Girl.
affordable brands.
They got
I
rid of LA
love LA
Girl.
Girl.
And I
Oh, they
literally was
did?
so sad. Yeah, well, I
Oh.
just like haven't seen it in any of my drugstores here. We used to have it, but I think they got rid of it. You know what's a brand that I miss every single day? Do you remember NYC, New York
Yes,
Color?
New York Color was my shit. Their black liquid liner, that was me in my bedroom.
Oh,
Every day, that black liquid
same.
liner. It
When
was
that
so
thing,
good.
when the brand discontinued, I think I bought like five. I don't have obviously have them anymore because I'd use them every
Yeah.
day. That was the best liquid liner I've ever used in my life. And nothing I've ever tried to this day compares.
The Revlon micro tip is the closest, but it's still not quite the NYC liquid liner. That was so
That thing would
good.
last so long. It dried down so like jet matte black.
Ugh,
A
it was
brush,
the best.
everything. And it was like a dollar.
I know. Oh my God. Yeah, like $1.99, I think, which
Yeah.
is kind of crazy.
It is.
Is
And I
there
remember the
any makeup?
bronzer.
Oh, the bronzer?
I liked their bronzer too. I liked a lot. Yeah, they had a lot of good stuff. No, I think like, yeah, I can't even think of anything that's around that price point. Like the closest would maybe be like Essence, but even their prices have gone up. Elf has like, I mean, Elf as a brand, I feel like has completely changed. I mean, great, they've come out with some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
But back to when they had like all their white packaging, like that was just in my head, that's like a
Yes, a
completely
dollar
different
each.
Elf era. Then I remember going, actually I was in New York with my family. I was like 15 at the time and I'm like, I need to go to the Elf store.
To the store, yes, which
Yes.
was right near Washington Square Park.
Yes. So I literally dragged my poor family. I think there were two stores in New York at the time. So there was like they're very far from each other. But I dragged them to one store and I was looking for like their baked highlighters. Because those were like really big at the time. And I didn't find the shade I was looking for. So then I made them walk all the way to the other one, even with like my grandma and everything. I'm like, I must find this baked highlighter to review for my 500 subscribers on YouTube. But I was
Did
like
you find it
determined.
though?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
I did.
worth it.
Every time I'd come to the States, I'd always like hit up every CVS, every Walgreens, every Ulta, and just like
Oh yeah. Dude,
grab everything.
it's so sad. The drugstore game in New York is so awful compared to like North Carolina. Like North Carolina, you'll get like a big ass CVS. Like I can spend an hour in a CVS. The ones here, everything is locked up. It's itty bitty. The beverage selection is terrible. It's just like not my vibe.
Takes the fun out of it. I was
It
actually just
does.
in the UK and the amount of Boots I went into, which is like there, I don't know if you've been there
Oh, I love
before.
a Boots.
Oh my gosh. I like that made my whole trip. I didn't have to see anything else in London. That like that alone. And the friend I went to every time we'd walk past the Boots, she's like, blinkers on, don't look in there. And I'm like, I must
love
look in
Boots.
there. It was
Boots
really
and
fun.
Shoppers.
Yeah. Okay, see, Shoppers is good. Shoppers is good.
I love the UK girlies. They have it.
Yeah, no, it's really fun. I love drugstore makeup though, and I feel like every time I go in there, it's like almost healing a bit of like my teenager self now that I have like more money to actually spend on products. 'Cause before I'd have to like really look, and then I remember sometimes my grandma would be like, okay, I'll treat you to like one makeup product. You can pick out like your favorite. And then I'd feel the stress of like my whole life come upon my shoulders. Like, okay, now I, after watching all these YouTube reviews and everything, now I have to pick like the one product I really want to try. And then it's like the
Yes.
pressure is on. But it is really fun. And I feel like there are some good options. You mentioned Rimmel. I feel like it's such a slept on brand nowadays. No one talks about Rimmel.
Rimmel for sure. And Wet n Wild, the Wet n Wild lipsticks carried me through
Yes.
my college years. $2. I think they're still $2.
I think they are still pretty cheap. I love Wet n Wild, and I feel like no one, it was like such a hyped brand, I feel like back in like the YouTube days, but now no one really talks about Wet n Wild, which I love that brand so much. It's so funny too, because being a
Yeah.
creator, I feel like growing up, my two favorite brands at the drugstore were Wet n Wild and Milani. Those were like my favorites. And because Milani kind of gave me that feeling of like more high-end makeup because their packaging was always really nice, but then it was like still affordable. And talking to like other content creator girls, they're like, what's your dream brand like for PR and blah, blah, blah. And I always say like, I remember when I got like a first package from Wet n Wild and I literally like cried. And I've received like packages from like these high-end brands, but because I don't have that like, I don't know, that, you know, connection to it as like a kid.
Yes, the emotional connection
exactly.
to Wet n Wild.
Yeah, because like, you know, obviously receiving like high-end PR and stuff is super fun and cool, but I was never like a teenager sorting out like YSL makeup or whatever because I couldn't afford it. That wasn't even like in the, you know, in the vision. But like a Wet n Wild, yeah, that touched me good. I love it. But yeah, Rachel, thank you so much for joining me on Loud Talk. Your content is so valuable in social media, and I think so many people, you help so many people at the end of the day, and just creating those more realistic beauty standards, bringing back the fun to beauty. And I'm sure this is just from me as like a fellow creator, but also like anyone who views your content, like you're really making a difference.
Oh my God, you're gonna make my head so big. You're really gassing me up today. This has been so great.
No, this was so fun. And thanks for taking the time. I'll have all of Rachel's social medias down below. And I'm so happy you could come on Loud Talk.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks, bye. Rachel. Bye.
That is it for this episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. I hope you guys enjoyed. Let me know what you'd love to see next on the podcast. You guys already know the drill. We do individual episodes followed up by guest episodes every other week, posting every single day at 7 a.m. MST. On Sundays, we have the video version that goes up on YouTube, and then all the audio on any streaming platform, Spotify, Apple, wherever you catch your podcast every week. I love you guys. Remember to tell yourself something you love about your skin today, and you'll hear from me in the next episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. Love you. Bye.